Well, we get to the book of Titus, and we know that Paul is writing this letter to this young man called Titus, who's going to the island of Crete. Now, some of you failed geography, so I'm not even going to explain it to you, all right? You don't like geography, you can't even tell me which way is north. I got it, all right? But just think of this. There's this plot of land in the middle of a sea called Crete, all right? Got that? That'll help you out. And so Paul is sending him to this place, Titus to this place, and he says, hey, I want you to set up churches in the island of Crete because there's people on the island of Crete that need to know about Jesus. Matter of fact, if you look at chapter 2, verse number 1, you'll see what he's saying. He's saying in verse number 1, he says, but speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. So what's he saying? He's saying literally, hey, I want you to go to this island and I want you to teach them the truth. How many of you in this room like to be lied to? No one likes to be lied to. I mean, if you had a friend that was like going to tell you that they really liked you or that they wanted to spend time with you, but you found out that all they're really after is your sister. What? That's all you're after is my sister? What's up with that? You would be like offended. You'd take offense to that. Why? Because they just used you. That's all they did. All right? They just was going after your sister. Now get that. We don't like to be lied to. We don't like to be taken advantage of. And the only way that happens is if we know truth. And we come to the scriptures and we find ourselves at verse number 11. Would you look at what your Bible says in verse number 11? The Bible says in verse number 11, he says, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. Father, as we look into your word, Lord, we find some truth, some very, very important truth. And Father, as I tried to articulate what you've laid on my heart for these young people, Father, I don't know them. Lord, but you know them. And Lord, it's not a mistake that they're here. And Father, those that are here this morning that don't know about this grace, oh Father, I pray that today would be the day that they receive it. And Father, we'll thank you and praise you for what you're going to do here in the chapel service in Jesus, my precious Savior's name. Amen. And when it comes to the word grace, I tell you what, there's a lot of ideas out there. But in this verse, Paul challenges Titus to go to this island and teach them that for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. And so this morning, what I'd like to do very simply, very quickly, is I'd like to give you three aspects of this grace. Just three aspects of it. Not an exhaustive lecture on it or a study on it, but just kind of three aspects that will kind of help you in your Christian life, in your life as a young person, to understand what Paul is really saying. You say, well, what are you talking about? Well, in order for us to even get started, we got to kind of understand what grace is. Some people think that grace, people have said, is undeserving love. No doubt about it. I like that definition. Some people have said it's acrostic. It stands for God's riches at Christ's expense. I like that. Some people have said it's the positive things that we get that we do not deserve. I like that. But if you look it up in a dictionary and you said, hey, what does the word grace mean? It means simply this, unmerited favor. You say, what are you talking about? Let's say that I asked you to come up here and to slam Mr. D. You say, what are you talking about? How many of you are good at slams? How many of you are good at slams? You know what I'm talking about. Like degrading someone. You can like put them down. You know what I'm talking about? Who's really good at that? Who's really good at, we got a pointing of a finger here. Who would like to volunteer for me? Right here. All right, come on up here. Right here, man. All right. So here, we're going to illustrate this, all right? Now, I know that your mama told you, don't do this, okay? I get that completely. But if I were to ask you, hey, man, I want you to rip me to shreds. You, what would you say to me? What would you say to me?
You sure?
What's that?
You sure?
I'm sure. Yeah. Okay. I'm sure. He's like, you sure? Like, this is bad news. He's already asking. Okay. Can I sign a waiver on this one? Okay. So if you were to say, hey, man, okay, what would you say to me? Now, I'm asking you to do this, so, you know, keep it clean, though, okay? Keep it clean, all right? But what would you say to me?
What do you mean?
Like, okay, I'm like ugly, I'm short, I'm bald, something like that.
I'll just slam you.
All right, well, not physically, okay? Don't physically slam me. I'm not talking about that. That's not what we're talking about, amen? All right? But if you were to say something like that, what would you say to me? You would say, like, I don't know you, but, man, you are... Short, okay. It's kind of mean. Is that all you can come up with? That's it? You can't come up with anything else? All right. So he said, I'm short. Hey, God made me this way, okay? But truthfully, besides your hair, we're pretty close. See what I'm saying? You know? But if he came back and said, man, not only are you short, you're ugly. You don't look good. Matter of fact, I just got glasses. You got four eyes. Now, here, all this, normally, when people rip on you, when you get slammed on, here's what happens. People don't pay you. But I said, hey, here's what I want to do. I want to give you this. You know what that's called? Grace. You may be seated. Unmerited favor. Why? Because when people slam on you, when they rip you, when they shred you, you don't normally give them cash. Okay? That's odd. Okay? That doesn't make any sense. But the Bible says, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation. You see, the first aspect I'd like to show you is, number one, the author of grace. Would you notice what your Bible says? It says, for the grace of, who was that class? Who is it? God. Did you realize that God is the author of all grace? You say, well, where's that found in the Bible? Listen to what your Bible says in Psalms 86, verse number 5. It says, but thou, O Lord, are full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering, and plenteous in mercy. The Bible says in Psalms 103:8, the Lord is merciful and gracious. In Psalms 124, it says, and unto the upright there arises light in the darkness. He is gracious. Psalms 116, verse number 5, gracious is the Lord and righteous. The Bible tells us in Psalms 145, verse 8, the Lord is gracious and full of compassion. The Bible tells us that Hosea says it this way, or Joel says it this way, and rend your heart and not your garment. Turn unto the Lord your God, for he is gracious. Jonah said it this way, for I knew that thou art gracious, God, and merciful and slow to anger. Malachi said it this way, God, beseech God that he will be gracious. Peter says it this way. He says it, if so be ye have tasted the Lord, that the Lord is gracious. You know what that means, young people? Listen, God is willing to show unmerited favor to you. Because you know who are the beneficiaries of God's grace? Man. And when the Bible says that God is the author of grace, listen to what I'm saying. He is willing to give to you something you do not deserve. Unmerited favor. Just like this young man was slamming on Mr. D, get it? I gave him something he did not deserve. Now watch. The author of grace is God. But I want you to notice, secondly, the action of this grace. Would you notice what your Bible says in verse number 11 again? The action of his grace. Look what your Bible says in verse number 11. It says, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. Now listen very closely. There's only one thing that can deliver you from your sin. You know what it is?
God's grace. Did you see what the verse says? For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. You say, well, preacher, I don't understand that. I don't get it. I understand that I sin and that I have ripped people apart and I've been sarcastic and negative and I've done evil. I get that. But I don't understand how it's only the grace of God. Listen to Romans chapter 3, verse number 24. The Bible says, being justified fully by his grace through the redemption of Christ Jesus. You see, Jesus Christ showed grace unto all of mankind, watch this, when he went to the cross. You say, what? You see, grace is that unmerited favor. Jesus did not go to the cross because he sinned. Matter of fact, the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, he knew no sin, but became sin for us. Now get that. So where was that grace shown? That grace was shown when Jesus Christ went to the cross. You say, well, why did Jesus Christ go to the cross? Because he had to go so that somebody would pay the penalty for sin. You say, well, preacher, I don't think it's that big of a deal. No, listen. Do you understand, according to the Bible, not according to this preacher, because if it was my opinion, it don't count. But according to the Bible, did you understand this? Somebody's got to pay for your sin. You say, well, where's that found in the Bible? Romans chapter 6, verse number 23, the Bible says, for the wages of sin is death. Doesn't it? All right? And how many of you got a job? How many of you got a job or you had a job or because of COVID you can't work anymore? I get it, okay? Now watch. You didn't go to your workplace and say, you know what? I want to work here for free. Man, I love this place. There's something about the smell of French fries that just gets me going. I tell you what, I love dipping them in there and smelling that grease just bubbling on my face. It's awesome. Now, nobody does that. Matter of fact, here's how it normally is. Oh, I got to go to work today. Oh, I got to drop those fries in the basket. Oh, I got to smell that grease. I hate it. Now watch, the only reason you go and do that is because on that Friday, every other week, they give you this little piece of paper. Now hopefully it's not pink, okay? If it's pink, it means you don't have a job, okay, afterwards. But they give you this little paper and then you go to the bank and you got this little green stuff, all right? You put it in your account and you can swipe your card a few more times, you know what I'm saying? It's good. And it's what you deserve because you worked. But watch. You know what your sin has done for you? You know what you deserve because your sin? Listen. You deserve hell. You deserve, the word death literally means separated from God. Well, ultimately, the wrath of God is the lake of fire called hell. And so that's why we say it's such grace. Because if it wasn't for the grace of God, you would be trying to make yourself better, but in God's eyes, your righteousness is as filthy rags. In the book of Isaiah, it says that. So we can't earn our way. You say, what are you talking about? Do you understand if you could earn your way to heaven, watch this, it would no longer be grace. You say, what are you talking about? If I went up here to my brother and said, hey, man, how you doing? He said, hey, Mr. D, boy, you good looking. You handsome. You strong looking man. And I gave him the 10 bucks. He kind of think, man, I earned that. Amen? Some of you young people do it to your grandma and your grandpa, okay? You know what I'm talking about. Oh, Grammy, I love you. If you would just give me a new PlayStation 4, it'd be fine. Now it's 5, all right? 5, it'd be fine. You know, you're playing her. You know you are. You a player, all right? But get it. If you could earn your way because of doing some good things, it would no longer be grace. Why? Because grace is unmerited favor. See, God looked upon your case in your sin, and he says, you'll never make it. You can't do enough good. Why? Because you've done evil more than good. And so he looks and says, hey, I don't want you to spend eternity separated from me in a lake of fire called hell. I don't want that. So how in the world could I ever change this? And God said, it's only going to be by the death of my son that you can be reconciled. You can be justified. You can be redeemed. That's what the word redeem means. It means simply to pay for. And when Jesus Christ went to the cross, listen to me. He went to redeem your sin debt. That's amazing, isn't it? Why? Because the world that you live in, watch this, mostly works on the performance-based system. Can I tell you that? You say, what are you talking about? When you go to a job, and let's say you're fresh at the job and you want to get a raise, let me give you a little insight, all right? This is going to help you out. You might write this down, and this might help you in life. If you just sit on your phone all day while at work, you're probably not going to be the first one up for a raise, right? Why? Because they're going to look at you and say, he ain't doing diddly squat. All he's doing is exercising his fingers. I mean, come on, that's not being productive at all. But on the other hand, if you go to work and you're like, man, I'm going to work, I'm going to stay faithful, I'm just going to keep on keeping on, and you're a cut above, they might say, hey, you know what? That person's really doing a great job. They're being diligent. Hey, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to give them a raise. So based on your performance, what happens? You achieve something that you desire. In marriage, some of you are like, uh-uh. Some of you are like, uh-huh. Look at all these young people. This is like fishing in a sea. Wow. Now watch. In marriage, can I tell you? A lot of it's based on performance. Hey, I want my wife to love me. I want to love my wife. Now watch. If I said, hey, baby, I love you, she loves me, but I just sit on the couch all day and do nothing, let me tell you, that love ain't going to show. Why? Because all you do is sit on the couch and eat potato chips. I ain't going to be loving to her. Now get there. So based on performance. So then it comes to salvation, being delivered from your sins. And our mindset kicks in. Oh, I got to come to rekindle. I ain't going to get you there. I got to go to church. I ain't going to get you there. I got to obey mama or grandma or mom or dad. That ain't going to get you there. Why? It's only God's grace that will get you there. I was speaking in Randleman, North Carolina. How many of you know where Randleman, North Carolina is? All right. And a pastor there said, one of the church members wants to know if we'll go see their daddy. Their daddy was lost. And so I said, man, I'd love to. And so pastor and I drove up to his house, knocked on his door, and his name was Big Al. Now, I don't really know why they called him Big Al, but they called him Big Al. He was about 85 years old. And pastor introduces me. He says, Big Al, this is Brother Jake DeAndre. Well, he didn't say it right, but anyways, Jake DeAndre from Chicago. And he is connected to the mob. Now, I'm not, okay? I'm not. It is true, if you look it up, we do have some kin folks that were connected. Matter of fact, Phil DeAndre was Al Capone's main bodyguard. That is correct, and he was a cousin, okay? But my daddy at 16 had to make, and I hate explaining this, okay? But my daddy at 16 had to make a decision whether he was going to be a part of the syndicate or he wasn't, because their two brothers that came over from Italy, one became a Chicago police officer, and one became part of the syndicate, okay? And so I have to explain that this is how it is. But my dad grew up that way, all right? And if he had joined the mob at 16, I wouldn't be here, okay? I guarantee you that. He probably would have died, all right? Because you don't get out. Some of you are like, huh? Just don't worry about it, all right? You just don't get out, all right? And so, but I told this guy that my daddy grew up at St. Rocco's Church. You say, well, what's significant about that? Well, in Chicago Heights, Al Capone was a member of St. Rocco's Church. And so my dad went to the same church that St. Rocco's was, and or that Al Capone went to. But my dad at 21 heard that it wasn't by going to church that he could be delivered from his sins. In that it was only by the grace of God that he ever had a chance to be delivered from his sins. My dad, in August of 1972, received Jesus Christ as his Savior. And let me tell you, it changed his life. But can I tell you this? Listen, I turned to Big Al and Miss Ann, and I said, Miss Ann, have you ever received this grace? She said, Preacher, now she's about 80-something years old. She said, well, back when I was 16 years old, I remember going to a revival meeting under a tent. And some preacher got up and preached about the grace of God. And she said, at that night, though I have not lived the way I should, that night I received that grace, became a child of God. I turned to Big Al and I said, Big Al, have you ever received that grace? Here's what he said. Nope. Listen to me, young people. The only way you're ever going to be delivered from your sin is by the action of this grace. Why? Because it's got nothing to do with your ability. It's only got to do with his ability. Let me give you the third aspect. We looked at the author of grace. We've looked at the action of grace. But look with me lastly at verse number 11. It says, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. Number three, I want you to notice the appearance of this grace. The appearance of this grace. Did you notice with me that it says that this grace hath appeared, what's the next three words, class? To all men. You know, there's some people that think, well, they can't be saved. Look at their actions. There's no way. Did you see what they do? Come on. They can't receive grace. There's no way that God loves them. Hey, can I tell you? For God so loved the world. He doesn't love anyone's sin. By the way, Christian, he doesn't love your sin either. But he loves sinners. You know what's awesome about God's love? Get it. You can't increase it or decrease it based upon your performance. Somebody say amen. Did you hear what I just said? My relationship this way with God is not based upon Jake DeAndre doing good or doing evil. It's got nothing to do with it. My God loves me unconditionally, not based upon my performance. Praise God. And matter of fact, listen, this is what he says. This grace hath appeared to all men. I looked at Big Al and I said, Big Al, why would you not receive this grace? This grace is for all people. This isn't just for this group or that group or Americans or Italians or Asians or Spanish. It's for all people. When the Bible says it appeared to all men, get it? There's one race, the human race. Now get this. And this grace has appeared to all of them. Big Al said, "Preacher, I can't receive that grace." I said, "Now, Big Al, I just showed you from the Bible that it appeared to all of them. All you have to do is receive it. It's just like that gift. Understand that you can't. On your own, you're sinful. And on your own, you'll never be able to spend one second in heaven. But because of what this grace has done, when Jesus Christ went to the cross, he gave you the opportunity, and all you have to do is receive it. It's appearing to you right now." Here's what he said, "Preacher, I can't." I said, "Well, why?" Here's what he said. He said, "Preacher, you don't know how much booze I have put to these lips." He said, "You don't know how much marijuana I have puffed on." He said, "You don't know how much pornography that I have lusted after." He says, "You don't know how much verbal and physical abuse I've done to that lady lady right there. There's no way God would let me have that grace." I said, "You know, Big Al, from my point of view, I'm with you. But let me tell you what God says. Romans chapter 5, verse number 20, where sin did abound, grace did much more abound." Get that. You know what that means, young person? There is no sin greater than God's grace. You say, "Well, preacher, you don't understand what I've done." I don't, and I don't want to know. But I'm telling you this, according to the Bible, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And let me tell you, the only reason that's true is because of God's grace.